We are here today to worship. Worship our wonderful God and amazing Savior. Last Sunday, I spoke about some of the ways that Jesus described himself. We can look at Jesus through a number of lenses, maybe how we see him and how he's spoken to us and different ways that we can approach and think about Jesus. But last Sunday, I talked about some of the ways that Jesus, the words that Jesus used to describe himself. I believe that Jesus described himself because he wanted us to be able to connect to who he is and connect with the heart of God and how we understand him. And so when he said things about himself, it's to help us to understand the heart of God. Jesus describing himself. I kind of think of it like having a fingerprint of Jesus. When we read about Jesus and what he said about himself, it's like we have on paper, we have before us a picture, an idea of who God is. And we can go back to it and look at it again. It doesn't change. Every time we look in the Bible and read about Jesus, there's more and more about him that the Holy Spirit can speak to us about. But Jesus gives us his own fingerprint many times and tells us some things that are amazing and marvelous. We call them, or some people call them, the I am statements of Jesus. I am, and he talks about who he is and how he wants us to see him. And there are eight I am statements in the Gospel of John. John seems the one to be of the four gospel writers that record especially what Jesus said about himself and the description, sometimes kind of the comparisons or similes, many parables that Jesus told about how he was and how he wanted us to view him. Last week we read about some of those I am statements and how powerful they are and how powerfully they help us to see the heart of God through Jesus. Last week especially we focused on the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John and when Jesus talked about being the good shepherd and he said, I am the good shepherd, and he talked about what it meant to be a good shepherd. And God wants us to understand who he is in terms of being a shepherd and understand the care and the love that he has for each one of us. Jesus said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. When we think about the good shepherd, we think of someone who is with the sheep all the time, day and night. There's not a time that a good shepherd is not watching over their sheep. And God wants us to understand how he sees us and he's watching over us and he cares deeply about what it is that's going on in our lives. Jesus wants to see us to see him and to respond to him as our shepherd. That's one of those I am statements, and there are quite a few others. And this morning I want to focus on one of the other ones, the I am statements of Jesus from the Gospel of John in chapter 8. And I want to read another description of how Jesus described himself and how he wants us to look at him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He gives us this picture and this powerful word that speaks to us from nature and from the creation and all the things that we think of light. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That's not a new expression. The Bible says many times, describes the nature of God as being light and the nature of Jesus being light. And I want to read some of those scriptures about what it means that Jesus is the light of the world. This verse in John chapter 8 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus uses this statement and others that he speaks and others that are spoken about him to remind us that our lives are in his hands. In Jesus is our light. In Jesus is our life. I want you to think this morning as we look at a lot of different scriptures about light and what it says about Jesus, how precious it is that we see Jesus in a certain way. We see Jesus as being our light. And as important and precious as light is to us in this physical world, how much more so should we view Jesus spiritually in our lives and the role that he plays? Jesus gives us a glimpse here, maybe. He gives us a picture that draws closer together the physical reality of creation and the awesome spiritual reality that God made us in his own image. Now, somehow God made us as physical beings And we understand physical light, but he also made us as spiritual beings. And what we read in the Bible about light and about Jesus being the light draws together those two things and helps us to understand how Jesus can be light to us. What does it mean spiritually that Jesus is light to us? Jesus gives us a picture that draws that together and connects us to the life giver. We read all the scriptures about how Jesus is life and life is in him. And we read these descriptions. We're just reminded again that God is the one that gives us life. And we sit here this morning. We are here together this morning because Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus, God himself, expressed in the fullness of both divinity and humanity, reflects something that he's described by as light. We believe that Jesus is fully God, and somehow when Jesus came to the earth, he brought with him the fullness of God. He didn't leave that behind when he came to the earth. He brought his nature of being God, and then when he took on the flesh of a man, he took on humanity, and he became fully man, and he went through the emotions and the temptations and experiences that man did. Somehow we wrestle with a concept of that, but we believe, we affirm that Jesus is fully God and fully man. We think of the book of Colossians that described Jesus as being the full image of the Father, the full image of God. When we look at Jesus, we're seeing somehow an image of the fullness of God. If you want to know who God is, the Bible says, look at Jesus. If you want to know the Father, look at the Son. Jesus is able to reflect both that divine image and somehow that nature of sinlessness and that nature of perfection and that infinite awesome nature of God the Father. And also he reflects who we are and the humanity, and understanding what that is amazing. And they kind of merge together in this description. I am the light of the world. Somehow Jesus brings together the physical and the spiritual. And we think of both of them when we think about the importance and the meaning of life. Jesus ties together the creation and the creator. He ties together the physical properties that we live under, the laws of gravity, the laws of science. And somehow Jesus helps us to connect that physical world to the truth that we're spiritual beings with a soul that will last forever and ever and ever, created in the image of God. Somehow when I read and I think about the light of the world, those two things seem to come closer together. You remember back to the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, and you remember on the very first day of creation, as we looked at, as last January that we studied the creation story, and we looked verse by verse and few verses at a time at the creation. And the very first day described in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, what did God create on the first day of creation? He created light. You think of how important and amazing God's creation of light is. We think of the awesome qualities of light and what scientists and astronomers and chemists and physicists and all those that study light and its properties and amazing facts about life and how amazing that is. God created that on the first day. It was the first thing that he spoke into existence on the first day. It was light that God created. Verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. I mean, first of all, how can God speak into existence such an amazing part of creation that we behold? And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Well, Jesus somehow became the bearer of the light. He became the one who carried the image of the light. We also know that Jesus was a part of creation. We believe that at creation, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed, and somehow together the creation took place. Somehow Jesus spoke into existence and somehow created the world. John chapter 1 tells us that, and it is a mystery, but think for a moment this morning about how Jesus was so instrumental in creating the world and how he bears that image of light and how he is the one that is light, or Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus makes seeing God possible. think of how do we describe that? How do we understand that? One way that comes to my mind is Jesus makes us be able to see the wonder of God. Somehow Jesus illuminates our minds and hearts and our spirits so that we can behold the wonder of an infinite God. How could we possibly come to terms with who God is? And thankfully, God has been pleased to allow His Son to do that for us. I think of other world religions, and I think of how in the dark they are because they have no way of interpreting and understanding who their God is. But God has sent His Son to take on the fullness of man and the fullness of God so that we can see God for who He is. I mean, He is the window. He is the illuminator. He is the spotlight, the searchlight of who God is. And the Bible has so many different ways that describe how God illuminates for us, and many of them, how Jesus, the Son, illuminates so that He's the light. Light is used throughout the Bible to relate our lives to God. And it's not so much that we get a description that fits into a theological book somewhere, but that we understand personally that Jesus is our light to understand God and understand what God has done and what God wants to do. And so today, as we look at these scriptures, I'm wanting us to relate personally to light, how it is that Jesus helps us to see the heart of God and connect to Him. King David wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." It's interesting he puts those two together. He is my light and my salvation. Somehow David understood that it's God who illuminates truth, and He brings it to the surface so we can see it and experience it and feel it. Light, salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession." And listen to what it says about light, "that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Somehow physically, spiritually, they're somehow intertwined. Peter records this phrase, "proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." There's something about light that is very precious and special. We think about physical light and spiritual light. Light changes everything. Think about our physical world and how important light is to us. It makes life possible. I mean, can we overestimate or overstate how important light is to us on a practical level? It wakes us up. It grows our food. It helps us to work. It brings us together. We watch, we read, we see, we perceive through light and the beauty of vision and the ways that God gives us a way to connect to the physical world. And light and life go together. And so does Jesus and our ability to connect to God. Just as important as physical light is to our physical senses and our world, even more so is the power of Jesus to bring light to our lives and our soul. I referred a little bit ago to the first chapter of John. Listen to what the writer John says in the first few verses. I read about the first few verses in Genesis. Listen now for the first four verses in John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." John's describing Jesus. "Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made." He's describing not only was Jesus there, but He was creative. He was the creator. He was making things. And then verse 4 says, "In Him was life." That's what you have on the screen. "And that life was the light of men." That life was the light of men. He was there at creation. He was the creator. And in Him is our life. In Him is the light that God has for us. John describes so much the role of Jesus and the importance of how we see life. "And Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness." Jesus is our hope. He is described in so many ways throughout the Bible. and God throughout the Bible. Think of all the words. I'm going to read some of them and describe Jesus as our light. I hope that in doing so, maybe you might hear a description or something might connect to you and you can say, wow, I'm glad I'm reminded of that, or I really need that aspect of who Jesus is. I need to be reminded that Jesus does this for me and that Jesus is active in my world in this area. It may be that there's some things that I might read here you think, wow, I haven't thought of that in a while. Boy, I just really need that and I want that. Think of some of the things that are describing Jesus. He's described and he describes himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We're reminded that Jesus is the only way to God. There's no other way. There's no other religion. There's no other way by which mankind can be saved but through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He says, I am the door. He is the path of salvation. He is the way that we find the forgiveness of God. He is the way that we understand the reality of God. This morning when we think about Jesus as the light of the world, I want you to think of him as the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth, Jesus, in Jesus, embodies the fullness of the Godhead. In Jesus, John also says, he came full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and full of truth. Jesus is the answer to our problem. Jesus is the answers to our question. Jesus is the one that can help us to sort out life and discern what is right, and the Holy Spirit applies it to us. In Jesus is the fullness of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're also reminded that that's Jesus, that through Jesus we have life everlasting. John chapter 14 says that I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Our hope in eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other hope than in Jesus. He is the light of the world. There's no other light. There's no other light for salvation in our world but through the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that and worship him. These phrases also, I said, I hope that maybe you would hear one and it would particularly connect to you. And I want that, but I also want that you'll worship him when you think of these things. Think of all the ways that he's a light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. In him, we find the peace giver. We find the Prince of Peace. In Jesus, the light of the world, we find the answers to turmoil. And at the end of time, he'll bring together all of human history and all the events of the world and all the sin that's taken place and conquer that sin. He is the peace giver. He's the one that holds the key to your fulfillment and your meaning and your purpose in life. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing the heart of God is what brings fulfillment to our lives. In him you will find a loving God who made you. He's your creator. The light of the world was your creator somehow before you ever came to be. God knew every day of your life and Jesus knew your soul. Jesus knew you individually. He was the creator speaking into existence. God did. And somehow working in the physical things that he created to make you and I. Not only Jesus, our creator, but he knows our lives. He knows every bit of our lives. And last week especially, I focused on that as the Good Shepherd. He knows every day of your life. He knows what's happened in the past. He knows what you're dealing with today. He knows what's going to happen Thursday morning in your life. And he promises to be with you. He is a wonderful light of the world. He promises never to leave you nor forsake you. He promises to be with you at all times. He who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus is a great and a mighty one who knows who we are. In Jesus, we'll find the door to everlasting life. In Jesus, we find hope. In him, we find grace. John 1, I believe I said, maybe, I don't know if I quoted that before, said he came full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. He came full of that to the world. He brought it all from heaven. Grace and truth. We need grace, that unmerited favor of God, and he offers that to us as the light of the world. It's not that he just picks out a few people or the people that act the best or the people that look the best or the people that anything the best. He has such fullness of grace for all of us, and he offers that freely to us. I think also of the mercy of Jesus. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And Jesus talked about how important mercy is. He's the mercy giver. God's described throughout the Bible as the merciful. He's the one that's able and willing to forgive sins. I think of the heart of the Father reflected in Jesus and how Jesus was able to forgive so many, how he forgave the woman. In fact, the story before this verse that I read in John chapter 8 is the woman caught in adultery. Go and sin no more. I think of all the places that he forgave people and forgave them their sins. Jesus is is the one that brings forgiveness to every one of you. Maybe sometimes we just need to step back and remember and give thanks that he's the one that forgives our sins. God says he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Remember against us no more. He cast him into the depths of the sea. What kind of a God is that? What kind of an amazing light is that, that somehow takes our sins and forgets about them and remembers them against us no more? Jesus truly is a one of grace and forgiveness. He truly is an amazing light of the world. In Jesus, you will find meaning. You will find guidance. You will find truth. The Holy Spirit was sent, Jesus said, to testify of all the things that Jesus said and did. The Holy Spirit's role is to show us who Jesus is, whose role is to show us the fullness of the Godhead. So the Holy Spirit teaches us today from who Jesus is. In Jesus, you will find a willing and unselfish Savior who laid down his life for you. Think about all the qualities of Jesus. Think of the qualities where he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. He allowed himself to be beaten and his life to be taken. He did it willingly, it says. He says he was willing, and God the Father was willing that he laid all of our iniquities on him. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, but God hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Think about that as a light of the world. You know, you think light is powerful. What kind of a powerful being would allow themselves to be crucified? Wow. Only a God. Only an amazing God whose nature is love and who loves with great grace and mercy. He is the light of the world. In Jesus, you will find direction. You will find answers. In Jesus, you will find compassion. You will find someone that you can talk to. In Jesus, you will find a shepherd. You will find one that is honest. You will find one who is truthful. You'll find one who is discerning and able to reach deep into your life and speak truth to you, even if you might not hear it from any other source. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is able to help us to sort out everything in our lives. He is an amazing God. He is an amazing light. He is consistent. He is compassionate. He is caring. He sits on the right hand of the Father today, interceding for the saints. You wonder, well, what's Jesus doing now for me? There's a whole lot in that verse, and I'm not sure what all it means, but it says he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. That means that he knows who you are. He knows where you're at. He's a light of the world, the light of the past, the light of the present, the light of the future. He is consistent. He is compassionate. He is caring. In him, you will find one who has been tempted in every way like you. Yeah, without sin. The Bible tells us that it wasn't that Jesus took on the fullness of God, and that was it. He took on the fullness of God and the fullness of man. The fact that Jesus is a light of the world is that he came and he took both. He's been tempted in every way, yet without sin. And so he gives us hope. He gives us a future. He is the healer. He is the helper. In him, you will find all the power and the knowledge and the love of God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This morning, I want you to cherish that Jesus is your light. There's something about the light that we should always come back to and remember and worship. Here are some more. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The Father of lights. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it'll be on the screen. This is a beautiful verse for us to remember. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light. Walking in the light. If we don't walk in the light, then we don't connect. If we're not walking in the light, we're not walking in Jesus and hearing Jesus and responding to Jesus, then we're outside of the light and in the darkness. But if we do, two things. The promise is we have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. He is the light of the world. He is the one that redeems us and forgives us. He is the great creator, somehow merging together the creation and the creator. I also think about some of the amazing descriptions of light in the Bible, and just a couple of them that come to mind to me. One is the power of light at the resurrection. I've heard people talk about this, and I've sure wondered about it. You know, we think about how powerful light is. And, you know, thinking about what happened on that resurrection moment when somehow God raised, the Father raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, just physically what it was like, the power of light in the tomb. You know, we read about the powerful light that took place during that resurrection day and the different places and the light from heaven and the light in the tomb. And, you know, there's the Shroud of Turin. I don't know if that's the shroud of Jesus or not, but certainly the idea of the image, the powerful image that came through from something and made that imprint on the cloth, somehow the power of light, somehow Jesus transcends both the physical and the spiritual and connects us to an eternal, infinite, powerful God, light. What an amazing thought. I also think of how light described throughout the Bible is as it's chasing away the darkness, how light is able to do that. That's just amazing to me. The book of Revelation, chapter 21, I talked about the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and look at Genesis chapter 21, the next to last chapter of the Bible. It says, "And the city has no need of the sun, because the Lamb is the light thereof." Wow, what does that mean? The Lamb is the light thereof. There's something about Jesus, physically, spiritually, that transcends what we understand. He is the light of the world, and it's powerful. It's powerful. It's got to be powerful physically, but even more powerful spiritually. Jesus is the light of the world. Remember, this is how Jesus described himself. I am the light of the world. Psalm chapter 119. We haven't sung this chorus in a while. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Crystal, would you go to that one, please? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What a beautiful verse that tells us that God's word is our lamp. God's word is that thing that illuminates his truth and his spirit. And I think of Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Again, light and salvation together. Psalm 119, 130. And you know I could go on for many, many scriptures. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. God's words give us light. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. We have that privilege and great opportunity to worship the light of the world and the wonderful, amazing, marvelous things that God is. I'm so thankful this morning that Jesus is a light of the world. I pray that he's the light of your world. I pray that he's the object of your worship and praise and that part deep within your heart that says, I want to know who God is. And I know that Jesus reflects him in every way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Jesus' description of light. We're thankful that he's a light of the world, and in that amazing, marvelous light are so many things about the character of God and things that we should hold on to, at times things that we should go back to and affirm and remember, and that we should worship you and give you the praise and the glory and the honor that's due your name. Thank you that you're the light of the world. Thank you that you're our shepherd. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that you are the door. Thank you for all the ways, God, that you help us to know the heart of God. Help us to worship you and love you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One more verse this morning in a four-minute video I want you to listen to watch. One more quote from Jesus about light. And it's the verse that we're going to focus on, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. You are the light of the world. All these things I've said about Jesus being the light. And then in Matthew chapter 5, he said, but you are the light of the world. Why is that? Why would Jesus, after all these amazing things about spiritually, why would he say you are the light of the world? Somehow he gives us something of his nature and his spirit. And next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5.